This is Telich Talks with me, John Telich. I retired 2 years ago from 46 years of television sportscasting, the last 42 of them in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. But I admit, folks, I have been way, way, way too curious for my own good. And that is where the deep dive conversations are coming from on Telich Talks. And I hope you enjoy this latest one. This week, my guest is Ryan Shazier. He's the former NFL linebacker, a Pro Bowl linebacker at that, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who sustained a spinal cord injury on December the 4th, 2017. And though he, at the time, was a paraplegic, unable to walk, he did regain the function in his legs, and through rehabilitation and stabilization surgery, he fought his way back to be able to walk again, though obviously and effectively did have his football career end. We talked about his early life, how football has been the bedrock of his life, how faith has been such a huge part of his life, his father being a pastor and forging a lot of his sensibilities, if you will. We talk about Ohio State University, how the Steeler way forged the type of football player he became as a professional, all the individuals who helped shape his career, if you will. And then we talk extensively about that night and what happened afterwards and how much he is trying to provide hope for others through the Ryan Shazier Fund for rehabilitation for individuals with spinal cord injuries. It was a delight to get a chance to meet Ryan, met him on the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer, which is just a phenomenal situation where former Buckeyes and even current Buckeyes, for that matter, and individuals who are friends of the university, if you will, come aboard and do a lot of activities and raise money for cancer research down at the James Center in Columbus, Ohio. And Ryan was one of the players that was on the cruise and had a good chance to chat with him a few times. And we sat down and did a Zoom interview to make this podcast a reality. Really appreciate Ryan taking the time to do that. We're going to split this in two parts. So part one this week and part two next. And also, if you have been a friend of the pod, you'll realize that we've had some individuals who are very inspiring in their fields. Most recently, Charles Salter, the head football coach at Twinsburg High School. The week before that, Cameron Joyce, the state championship basketball coach of the St. Ignatius Wildcats, and so many other interviews. Now we're at more than 140 Telich Talks episodes. Well, let's get to this one. Ryan Shazier. Here's part one on Telich Talks. I am so pleased to bring Ryan Shazier on the Telich Talks podcast. Ryan, your story certainly has been out there so much since what happened on December the 4th back in 2017. But I want to go way back to the little boy, Ryan Shazier, growing up, the game of football, what it meant to you, and then how your father's faith, your father being a preacher, a pastor, how that kind of forged the man that you became.
So, you know, growing up, my father, he's my family always loved football, just my whole family, my mother, my father, both sides of the family. So when I was a kid, at the age of five, I knew that I wanted to go to NFL. My dad, he was a high school coach, and he was an assistant coach. He wasn't a head coach. He was a high school assistant coach, and his best friend was the head coach. And I just used to be on the sideline a lot, and I used to just be there a lot, and I just knew that that's something that I wanted to do. And with my faith, my dad, he was also assistant pastor for pretty much most of that time as well. And then we ended up moving to Texas so he can get his degree in theology. And as we were doing that, It was pretty cool because I got to, live somewhere else. We lived in Texas for a little bit to go while my dad went to Baylor, and we still play football there. We still love the game there. And then eventually we moved back to Florida, and it went right back to how everything was. My dad went to be becoming a he still was an assistant pastor, ended up moving up the ranks in the pastor world, and then eventually he got his own church later on the year, basically the year, like about 2 years before I went to college. And then he and then now he's a full-time pastor. But yeah, I love football ever since I was a kid.
So you love the game as a kid, and you're hearing the principles of your father's faith. Did those go kind of hand in hand as you walked on a football field, and the principles that your father placed in front of you, faith-wise, per se, Ryan?
Yeah, when it came to faith, my father always had me and my brother try to live by three principles: faith, integrity, and discipline. So we always try to do live through God, live by God, have faith in God, but also have faith in ourselves. If you're gonna do something, do it. If you're gonna do something behind a closed door, also do it in front of people. Just have integrity. Don't be one person in front of somebody and somebody else behind them. And then just have discipline in your life. Be someone that understands, there's gonna be a hard way sometimes to get to where you wanna go. It's not gonna always be the easy route. And he taught us you have to have discipline and understanding that and live through that.
Why was it linebacker? How did you gravitate to that particular position? Was it you wanting to be kind of in charge of the unit per se, a leadership quality that you had at a young age?
Honestly, when it came to the linebacker position, it was kind of something that they thought I would just do a good job at in college. When I was in high school, I played defensive end. I played a little bit of tight end here or there, but I was a smaller guy. And I knew that I wasn't going to be a huge guy, especially if I want to go to the NFL or if I want to go to play big time college football. So when we did like 7-on-7 camps and things like that, I would basically play linebacker in those camps, but I was one of the best linebackers when I would go to those camps and when teams would come see me. So when you watch a lot of linebackers nowadays, or even when I played coming out of high school, a lot of them actually you see a bunch of film of them playing linebacker. With me, all the film you see of me in high school is me playing defensive end because I end up actually moving to linebacker at Ohio State. So when I got to Ohio State, I didn't really have any bad habits when it came to being a linebacker. I was kind of learning from a fresh slate, and I thought that was pretty cool.
So you really did then gravitate towards it because of needs for the school per se. I mean, they said, I think you'll fit better in this position at this position. And obviously it took off from there for you.
No, so pretty much every school was recruiting me at linebacker. Some schools were even recruiting me at safety as well. But majority of schools like Alabama, Ohio State, Florida, Oklahoma, you name it, LSU, every single school was recruiting me as a linebacker. It was just in high school I was playing defensive end because when you have a really good defensive end, they kind of shut off one side of the field, and that's kind of what my team was trying to do. I would kind of basically, you couldn't run the ball on one side of the field. If I was in the middle of the linebacker, I was in the middle of the defense, but it can kind of limit you a little bit. While when you play defense end in high school, you basically saying, hey, you're not gonna throw the ball over here. You're not gonna run the ball over here. So basically, it allowed my teammates to have more freedom on the other side of the ball. That's what my high school coaches did it. But they knew I was a linebacker, but I was way too fast for the alignment in high school.
Yeah, you really, and that proved to be the case in the pros. Just you were just extremely fast and quick reaction time for how you played the game. Ryan, you're a kid, and a lot of people have seen you years and years now. No hair on your head. You have alopecia. You've been dealing with that for a long, long time. How did that forge
the kind of person that you became? Because I'm sure you found, kids teasing you and that type of stuff as a kid.
Yeah, so definitely with me being, having alopecia at the age of five, going from 5 to 18, that wasn't the easiest time because there's a lot of kids that if you can have literally a spot on your shirt and they'll find it, so it just, kids when they're 5 to 18, they can be cruel, they can be mean. But one thing that really helped me out a lot is that my family and my mother and father, they did a really good job of just making sure I had a great self-esteem within myself. So when somebody would judge me or somebody would say something to me, my family always made sure that I understood that for me, it was more about me and not what somebody else said. And they just also helped me understand that everybody goes through adversity. Everybody adversity just looks different. So when it came to people cracking jokes in high school and in college, and even in elementary and middle school, I kind of learned at an early age, if the joke is funny, laugh. If it's not, just understand that, some kids just like to crack jokes and they might have self-esteem issues. They might have something going on in their own home and they're trying to release that pain on somebody else. So that actually helped me out a lot when I was younger, and I was able to understand how to communicate a lot better when it came to talking to people, and it helped me out a lot.
Did it help you see what might be considered to be something wrong or not perfect in someone else, and to become more of an advocate for that young person, even a one of your fellow friend, one of your friends that you grew up with who might have been teased for other reasons? Were you more inclusive as far as that was concerned because of that?
No, I would say, if somebody's getting picked on or somebody's dealing with something, I would just always let them know, like, hey, just don't allow these people to bother you too much, because at the end of the day, everybody's going through their own thing. Or I would, if somebody's going through something right now, I would tell them the same thing, that everybody has their own adversity. Some people just can't see it. So with alopecia, everybody just see what you're dealing with. But with somebody, their sister might have cancer, their mother might have cancer, their brother might be sick. There's a lot of factors. Somebody could be homeless. But when you go to school, everybody puts on this persona like everything's okay, and that's the thing. That's how everything is in life. Everything is on social media. So my family made sure that I was very confident in myself, and they did a really good job of helping me understand that. And with me understanding that, it allowed me to be able to navigate people in general.
But it certainly worked out for you as far as how you look at the world. And so let's go back. You're in high school, Ryan. You're getting ready. You're all the big schools want you. But the plights of Trestle and Urban Meyer, they played separate but somewhat combined effects, I guess you would say, on how you ended up at Ohio State. That's quite the interesting story. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it was very interesting. I was committed to the University of Florida for pretty much 2 years when I was in high school. I was the type of kid, I wanted to kind of get my commitment kind of over really, like, relatively quickly. Enjoy just my moment. I didn't want to, a lot of people really just love the, oh, I'm here and I'm visiting here. And to me, I just kind of wanted to focus on where I was going, then just focus on high school and keep it moving. So then I was committed to the University of Florida for about 2 years. And then right before I was going to leave for school, because I was an early enrollee, Coach Meyer resigned and at the University of Florida. And when he resigned at the University of Florida, it was literally 2 weeks before I decided. And it was crazy because Ohio State and LSU were both at my school the day he resigned. And when he resigned, I basically talked to both of the schools and I was like, hey, I have to leave. I have to basically go to school in 3 weeks. And can I visit your school within the next few days? And literally the next day after he resigned, I was on a flight to Louisiana to go see LSU. And then 3 days later, I went to go visit Ohio State. And everybody thought I was going to go to LSU because I thought I had a great time at LSU. It was a great visit. It was There wasn't really anything wrong when it came to LSU because it was just a great atmosphere. But I just felt that the people in the coaching staff in the Big Ten, I felt that I had a good chance of succeeding. And then also I was thinking about what life would look like if I make it to the NFL, but what life would look like if I didn't make it to the NFL. And that's why I lean more into the Ohio State direction, because I just felt like Ohio State after the NFL with the alumni base, I thought that was amazing to have such a huge alumni base. I was thinking that with me flying and being away from home, there's a good chance of me understanding how to live with them by myself and not have to be near my parents. Unfortunately, like that sucks sometimes, but it also allows you to understand, like, hey, you just gotta keep on moving. Sometimes you're not gonna always have family everywhere you get to go. Sometimes you have to figure out things on your own. It also helped me understand if I make it to NFL that I might get drafted to a cold weather city, and look, I ended up in Pittsburgh. And then another thing that it helped out was Coach Meyer and Coach Tressel. They both were very, very different type of coaching styles. And I thought that once I got Coach Tressel, it was kind of a different approach than Coach Meyer had at University of Florida. And it was, to me, I thought it would be very common to have him as a coach and understanding how he continued to help you regrow as a man. And unfortunately, I only had him for 2 weeks. I mean, it'd been 2 months. Unfortunately, I had him for 2 months. I had Coach Fickell and Coach Meyer. But I testament all three of them because of my time at Ohio State, because all three of them have given me such great knowledge, information, and love. I don't have anything bad to say about any one of them, and I feel all three of them allow me to be the player and the man I am now.
Well, I did have a chance to have Chris Fields on the podcast a couple of months ago, and he was alluding to, what you just said, the differences in how each guy approaches their craft and their sideline demeanors, their how they are around players, and all those types of things. Obviously, different approaches work well for different individuals. And so you're at Ohio State and you're just having a fantastic career. Let's get you to the pros, Ryan. Obviously Cleveland Browns fans are very well of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the first moments that you go to Pittsburgh and how they welcomed you into their realm, if you will. How was that for you, and who really helped you become the pro that you did become?
So when I first got to Pittsburgh, pretty much every year came with open arms. It was really a blessing to get drafted here first round. That's obviously, most kids that play a professional sport, a lot of them wish that they got to go in the first round of the draft, and it was truly a blessing. So to be able to come to a house, I mean, come to Pittsburgh and be a first round draft pick was truly a blessing. When I got here, there were a lot of my teammates that honestly pushed me in a lot of different ways. I remember my rookie year, I didn't have the best year, and I wish I played a lot better. And Troy Polamalu came to me and was like, "Hey Ryan, I should have won Offensive Player of the Year. How bad my rookie year was." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I gave up so many touchdowns. I could have won Offensive Player of the Year." When it came to Will Allen and Will Gay, they both just taught me about how being a discipline and how to be somebody that's kind of constantly committed to your craft, somebody that constantly watches film. And I would say the same thing with Mike Mitchell. They all just helped me grow in my film study and just understanding the way to be a savvy veteran as a young guy. So they would just teach me all the little things that I needed to know. When it came to just pushing me on the field and as friends, I would say, guys like Vince Williams and Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward is a great leader. He's a great guy. Everybody loves being around him, but he also leads by example. So it was kind of cool to see him. And if I needed something, he was there with me. And Vince, he's still one of my best friends to this day. And he pushed me every single day. He pushed me when I first got there because he didn't want me there until the last day before I got hurt, when we was calling defenses together and having lunches and dinners pretty much once a week. So he's everybody there was just tremendous. When I can also talk about the coaches. Coach Tomlin does a really good job of understanding how to get the best out of each guy in his own special way, which I think he's one of the best coaches of all time because of his ability to be able to do that. But also when it came to, our linebacker coach, he was almost a technician. He just wanted everything to be exactly how it's supposed to be. He didn't like to go too much outside the line. So I know I used to pull his hair a lot, but he really helped me understand the fundamentals of the game. And I feel like his fundamental skills and then basically the way I played really allowed me to excel the way I excelled. So it's and the list goes on. I can say the Rooneys
Sure.
and Kevin Colbert, they've all been crucial parts of my life from the moment I got drafted to even to this day still.
Well, I'll tell you something, Ryan. There really is a Steeler way, right? Isn't there? I mean, it's been one of the steadiest franchises. It's tough for Cleveland fans to understand that, but it's been one of the steadiest franchises in pro sports for years and years. And you kind of absorbed that as you went, right? Rookie year, you made great progress to your second year, I think, because you kind of absorbed the Steeler way, right?
Yeah, you definitely have to absorb the Steeler way because the Steeler way is more of a blue collar approach. A lot of teams when they get to the NFL, they love all the flashy stuff. They love all the extra stuff that's involved in the game. But in the day, football in the game is just a game of will. It's a game of willingness. What are you willing to do? How much are you willing to win? How much are you willing to do to win? And one thing Coach Tomlin used to say all the time, we don't get paid by the hour, we get paid by the wins and losses. So, a lot of times when you're in that facility, it's more about let's find a way to win. And I think that's every single person in the building, not just the coaches, not just the players. Everybody's trying to find a way to win and help you continue to be the best player version of yourself. And you also see that when it comes to just the ownership that they only bring in guys that they feel fit that way. Their coaching staff has been the same coaching staff for with Coach Tomlin for the last 18 years, and they had three coaches in the last 60 years. So it lets you know that they're a team that likes to have tradition. They're a team that likes to keep things the way that it is, and that's why they're constantly in the mix when it comes to the playoffs. I know a lot of people and a lot of teams say, man, don't you get tired of being the same old thing? I definitely get tired of. I don't think I'll ever get tired of being above average and hopefully getting the championship, then winning the championship, and then being terrible for the next 30 years. So I think it might sound crazy, but when you're above average, you always have a shot at winning the championship. And I think that's one thing that the Steelers do. They understand the standard is the standard. Constantly try to be above average, and then we're gonna find some championships throughout those years as well.
How is it this man is such a tremendous leader? What are the things that he brought to the fore, Mike Tomlin, to be such an amazing coach that he has proven to be year in and year out, Ryan?
So the one thing that makes him a really good leader, in my opinion, is that he understands the different ways to push individuals. He knows how to push everybody in their own separate way, and I think that's one really good thing about Coach Tomlin. Another good thing is that he makes everything a lot more uncomfortable than he needs to. So. And what I mean by that is a lot of people take the easy route and like, hey, this is how we're doing things. Coach Tomlin, I think he actually goes out of his way to make things harder. So when that situation comes up in a game and he's already prepared. So a lot of times there'll be a situation where I'm trying to even think of the situation. It's like, honestly, you'll see, hey, 1 + 2 = 3. But Coach Tomlin will make it, 1 + 1 × 1 + 1 × 6 − 3, equals 3. You know, it's like, yo, like, like minus one. And it was like, we both got two, but why your two look like it takes a lot longer than my two? You know, but he finds he makes it difficult cause, like that because when you get in those situations in the game, when it gets hard and it gets sticky, everybody's so comfortable with being uncomfortable that those moments, those aren't even pressure moments anymore. It's just like, hey, this is how it's been every day, every practice, every situation. So I think he does a really good job of just making everybody feel uncomfortable consistently. And it allows him to constantly be in these type of games because people think those are pressure moments, but in a day, like, you know, that's he's constructing victory.
And you would get that, and that was the constant with that organization. You guys were always in the playoffs. He's always had a winning season, Ryan. That still remains to this day, going back to the days that you played for him, and him coaching as we are today. It just continues. It's absolutely incredible. Now, your first few years, Ryan, you were dinged up. You'd had some issues here and there with injuries and stuff, but you're gaining Pro Bowl status. You're one of the top players at your position in the NFL. How did you take that success? How did you internalize it? How did it fuel you? How did your father and your family keep you grounded? How did that work for you?
It definitely fueled me that I was getting injured because one of my goals in my life is to try to make it to the Hall of Fame, to be a Hall of Fame caliber player. And with me constantly getting hurt, that was, in my opinion, a way that with me constantly getting hurt, that was kind of a way of me not being able to do that, you know, because it was just constantly being hurt. So I was just finding different ways, like James Harrison. I started talking to him more and talking to other guys about ways to take care of my body. So James and a few other guys basically told me some of the techniques and some of the things that they were doing just to be in better health. So I started to take care of my body a lot better. But when it came to just the Pro Bowls and those type of things, that was something that was very important to me because I really hated the fact that I was getting hurt. I truly love the game of football so much, and I just wanted to give everything I had to it. And with me being injured, that really bothered me. So I started to change my workout routine. I started to change how much I took care of my body, and then I started to really notice a big difference when it came to just my overall play, but then also my overall performance. And once I started making it to the Pro Bowl, I was like, hey, you know, once I kind of got a taste of that medicine, I just wanted to keep going back. And that was something that I just wanted to continue to do. And you know, the first year I made it, then the second year I made it again, but unfortunately I got hurt. But I still to this day loved the aspect of just the journey, you know, just continue to push every single day.
Yeah, and you did, and you were attaining Pro Bowl status and opening eyes all across the National Football League, and your ascension is into that goal that you had, one day possibly being in Canton, certainly was a possibility for you. When you were hurt, I recall you detailing some of this in the amazing book that you wrote after the injury and after your football career ended, about how when you were injured, you kind of had them go through plays so you'd be in the end zone. You would be kind of, even though you were hurt, but yet you maybe were going to be able to play like walkthroughs. The mechanics of that, how did that work for you on those weeks where it was maybe a possibility that you couldn't play, but you had to be razor sharp with your mental reps and what have you to be ready for the game?
So this is something that I actually learned in college. I had a pretty serious injury in college, but I didn't miss any games. So throughout the week, the first two really physical practices when I was in college, I'll be behind the play and basically 40 yards behind the play. But I know what play we're calling on defense. So basically, I will take mental reps. I'll stand back there. I will actually get in my stance. I will get in my position. And actually, you know, take my linebacker steps, take my read steps, take my drops. And I wouldn't drop like like a full drop, like as if you're going 12 yards, but I will take my re-step it in drop, or I would just be in the back saying right, strong right, strong left. Hey, motion, audible this, audible that. So, and then I transitioned that into the NFL when those days I got hurt, and that still allowed me to be focused when I did have games where I couldn't practice as much, because it allowed me to still communicate in my head. Obviously, my teammates didn't hear me as much, but it still allowed me to stay on top of my communication.
Thanks very much to Ryan for taking the time to sit down and chat with me. We'll have that second part for you next week. And as always, I thank you so much for listening to Telich Talks. And if you are a friend of the pod or want to see the pod grow even more, kindly subscribe, rate, and or review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Any type of support is much, much appreciated. And as always, thanks very much to the individual who allows me to probe into their past and their life. And in this case, part one with Ryan Shazier. We look forward to part two next week. We'll see you then. And thanks for listening.